Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about his work, the way he shared the gospel when he came to the city of Corinth. And we learn something I think very important for us when we read these texts. I just want to read the first five verses of chapter 2. "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Most of you know that today and a week from today, we're focusing on being faithful to share the good news of Jesus Christ with our friends and family members, our neighbors. And I know that for many of us, when we emphasize the importance of our being faithful to share, we feel inadequate for that. We're afraid that we will be weak or fearful or trembling instead of bold and clear and wise in what we have to say. And so it brings us comfort and confidence to see that the Apostle Paul says, "When I came to Corinth, I didn't speak with eloquence and power. I was fearful and weak and trembling." Paul brought the message. God brought the power. And the same is true for us. When we challenge each other to be faithful to share, we do so remembering that we carry a simple good news message. And God is faithful to bring the power to save. This morning, we're going to take some time to do something a little unusual in a morning worship service. I'm not really going to preach a sermon to you. Instead, I want us to read together through this little gospel booklet, this gospel tract, which is called Three Circles, A Life Conversation Guide. And that's the purpose of it, is just to read through it with a friend or a neighbor, someone that you've met. Maybe you know them well, maybe you don't know them well at all. But this is a presentation of the basic gospel message of Jesus Christ in a simple way that allow people to talk to you about it and you to them as you stay focused on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And what we want to do, and by the way, this is like training wheels. You share this with somebody often enough, and finally you'll be able to do it without the booklet. So the beauty of this that you'll see is this is something you can draw out on a napkin or a piece of scratch paper and share the gospel in a very easy way, especially to people who are hurting. And it's not hard to find one of those, is it? To people who are hurting, feeling the pain of this broken world. And listen, I know that in a gathering like this, there are some of you here who have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And as we walk through this simple gospel tract that calls us to repent and believe in the good news of Jesus, you may begin to sense the power of God's Spirit, like Paul talks about, convicting you of sin and drawing you to a personal faith in Christ. And at the end of this service, you'll have an opportunity to come and respond to this gospel message and be saved. So open that tract to the first page, and you see that this tract begins by declaring that we live in a broken world. Do you see that? Let me just read that. We live in a broken world, surrounded by broken lives, broken relationships, and broken systems. This brokenness is seen in suffering, violence, poverty, pain, and death around us. Brokenness leads us to search for a way to make life work. Do you know anyone that's trying to find a way to make life work? You'll not find very many people that disagree with that opening sentence. We live in a broken world. And you notice how the language there speaks of the ripple effect from our lives to our families to systems and societies in which we live. It's all broken. You know, some of you are familiar with the fact that in the late 1950s and early 1960s, Bill Bright, who began Campus Crusade, put together a little gospel tract. And I think there are something like 1.5 billion of them in print today, called The Four Spiritual Laws. You remember that? A very simple tract like this that presents the basic gospel message. And it's interesting to me as I think about this that in the late 1950s and early 1960s, the first of those four spiritual laws, the way the gospel presentation began, was by affirming God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And that was a great place to begin in 1962. But the reality is that in our world today, if you began there, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, many people are going to think you're out of touch with the realities of life. And it's interesting that we live in an age in which starting with the Bible truth of our brokenness is a connection point that will allow people to open up for us and hear the good news from us. We live in a broken world. Broken homes, broken spirits, broken hearts. It is broken. They are broken. We are broken. I am broken. And this is a beginning point for the gospel. You can see that last sentence begins a search for a solution. How can we make life work? I turn the page. We begin with God's design. Look what the tract says. In fact, read the white print on the gray page out loud with me. In contrast to this brokenness, we also see beauty, purpose, and evidence of God's design around us. The Bible tells us that God originally planned a world that worked perfectly, where everything and everyone fit together in harmony. God made each of us with a purpose, to worship Him and to walk with Him. Listen, the truth of creation speaks to the value and the purpose and the accountability of each person. Without the understanding of God's creation, of God's design, then people find they don't have value. There's no purpose. There's no accountability. And so we began by establishing the fact that God created the world and God created us. And He has a design for that that is good. And our purpose is to worship God and to know God. You can see the scripture there in the red box at the bottom of the page from Genesis chapter 1 that says, God saw all that He made and it was very good. And Psalm 19 that we read earlier, which says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky proclaims the work of His hands. So we begin by acknowledging God's design. In the Word and in the world, we see evidence of God's good design. And so the question is, what happened? How did things get so broken? And turn the page. In a word, sin. You can see the drawing there. From God's design, sin is introduced. The tract says, life does not work when we ignore God and His original design for our lives. We selfishly insist on doing things our own way. The Bible calls this sin. We all sin and distort the original design. The consequences of our sin is separation from God in this life and for all eternity. Notice the definition of the Bible word sin. Sin is defined in the first line or two as when we ignore God and His design for our lives, when we selfishly insist on doing things our own way. That's sin. And sin brings separation from God. It brings alienation, and the alienation that takes place between us and all the people around us comes from that root cause of sin and our alienation from God. Something is missing. And again, we're affirming the fact that sin impacts me, it impacts my family, our culture, the world. And the red box at the bottom of the page has a scripture from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone in this room, everyone with whom you'd share this tract, all have sinned and fall short. They're separated from the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Death is separation from God now and forever. Our sin brings brokenness. We turn the page. We see sin brings brokenness. The tract, in fact, read this tract, this part with me, the white words on the gray page. Sin leads to a place of brokenness. We see this all around us and in our own lives as well. When we realize life is not working, we begin to look for a way out. We tend to go in many directions, trying different things to figure out on our own. Brokenness leads to a place of realizing a need for something greater. You see the lines going out from our brokenness. We try, usually people start with good things. We try to heal our own brokenness with morality or religion or family or success. But still at the end of the day, there's this brokenness, and we get desperate and we develop addictions and destructive patterns and toxic relationships. No matter what we do to deaden or distract, at the end of the day, there's still this heaviness, this sadness that comes from our alienation, our sin, our brokenness. We need help. We cannot heal our own brokenness. The Bible says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator. And the Bible says there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The world is broken. They are broken. I am broken. It's when we're ready to admit this that we're ready to hear the good news. You see, what you're doing when you share this with someone is helping them to understand their own condition. Somebody has to get to a place where they acknowledge and understand that they are lost before they can be saved. And so it's at this point where we've talked about God's design being distorted by our sin and our own brokenness and desire to find healing and peace that we're finally ready to hear the good news. If you turn the page, we see the good news is the gospel. The word gospel means good news, that Jesus came to rescue us. The tract says, at this point, we need a remedy, some good news. Because of His love, God did not leave us in our brokenness. Jesus, God in human flesh, came to us and lived perfectly according to God's design. Jesus came to rescue us, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He took our sin and shame to the cross, paying the penalty of our sin by His death. Jesus was then raised from the dead to provide the only way for us to be rescued and restored to a relationship with God. Notice how the track here speaks to us briefly about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. He is the perfect Son of God, God in the flesh. He came to die on the cross for our sin and to give us life through His resurrection. You see that the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." And in the book of Colossians, the Bible says that He erased the certificate of debt and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross, our sin debt. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says the gospel is simple, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scripture. That the gospel is not what we need to do, but what God has already done for us. When we share the gospel, we're not telling people what they need to do for God. We're declaring to them the good news of what God has already done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And at this point, you might be thinking, well, I already know all that stuff. You turn the page and see that knowing about this Jesus stuff is not enough. On the next page, we see that simply hearing the good news is not enough. We must admit our sinful brokenness and stop trusting in ourselves. We don't have the power to escape this brokenness on our own. We need to be rescued. We must ask God to forgive us, turning from sin to trust only in Jesus. This is what it means to repent and believe. Believing, we receive new life through Jesus, and God turns our lives in a new direction. The key words in that paragraph and the key words on the diagram you see written are repent and believe. This is what Jesus calls us to do. He's done the work for us through His life and death and resurrection. Our response is to repent and believe, to turn away from sin and self, and to trust in Him. And when we trust Jesus and allow Him to have His way in our lives, then He gives us new life and new direction. You see, the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, these are the words of Jesus, repent and believe in the good news. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, that no one can boast. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. What a great promise. To be saved means to be rescued. It means to do what you could never do for yourself. To be saved is to be healed. For God in Christ Jesus to heal the brokenness of your life. And that brings us to one last page that I want us to look at. What should we do? I want you to see, first of all, on this. I want you to see on this track, when the diagram is complete, that we see that the results of the gospel are to recover and pursue God's design. Read the white words on the gray page with me that says, when God restores. When God restores our relationship to Him, we begin to discover meaning and purpose in a broken world. Now we can pursue God's design in all areas of our life. Even when we fail, we understand God's pathway to be restored. This same good news of Jesus. God's Spirit empowers us to recover His design and assures us of His presence in this life and for all eternity. The key here is we cannot recover and pursue God's design without life change. We can't heal our own brokenness by being good enough or right enough. We need God, first of all, to come and change us and to restore us so that we can, in the power of His Spirit within, recover and pursue His design. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. In Ephesians chapter 10 says, having been saved by grace, we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Does that make sense to you? It's a simple message. But you know, the Bible teaches us that understanding this in our head is not enough. We need to take some action. And if you'll turn the page, you see, what should I do? Now that you have heard this good news, God wants you to respond to Him. And you can talk to Him using words like these. My life is broken. I recognize it's because of my sin. I need You. I believe Christ came to live, die, and was raised from the dead to rescue me from my sin. Forgive me. I turn from my selfish ways and put my trust in You. I know that Jesus is Lord of all, and I will follow Him. Can it be that simple? Such a simple prayer. Not magic words, but a simple expression of turning and trusting. Look at what the Bible says there in the red box. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that prayer that you read in the tract is a prayer confessing with your lips, expressing belief in your heart, and calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. Not long ago, I read through this little tract with a new friend that I didn't know very well, a man in his 30s. And I really just read through the tract even more simply than what I just did with you. And I've got to confess to you, I was a little surprised when at the end I said, do you understand that? He said, yeah, I think I do. And I asked, would you like to pray that prayer? And he said, yeah, I think I would. And so he prayed through this prayer out loud so that I could be a witness to it. And he said, amen. And I found myself thinking, can it be that simple? But I want you to know that in the week or two since I shared this track with him and he made that commitment to Christ, confessing, believing, calling on the name of the Lord, that I've seen his life change as he begins to recover and pursue God's purpose in his life. I think the Bible is true when it says everyone who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, you can confess with your lips Jesus is Lord. And you can believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You can call on the Lord and be saved. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. What a great testimony you would have to be able to say that I heard the gospel presented in a simple way, just reading through a tract. And the power of God's Holy Spirit so touched my heart that I wanted to pray and make a personal commitment of faith to Christ. Listen, you know that this morning I was primarily reading through this tract to encourage the Christians here to be faithful to share the good news. But it could be that as we read through that tract, you realize that you've never turned from sin, trusted in Christ, called on the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved. Listen, heads are bowed and eyes are closed all across this place of worship. If you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I've never made a personal commitment to Christ like that, asking Jesus and Jesus alone to heal my brokenness. And because of God's Spirit stirring my heart this morning, I'm ready. I understand the gospel, and I want to turn from my sin and trust in Jesus. I'm not going to put you on the spot in any way. But if that's your testimony this morning, I know that I need to make this personal commitment to Christ. Then would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you and with you? Just raise your hand. This prayer helps you to turn from sin and trust in Christ and call on the name of the Lord to be saved. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And when I say amen, we're going to stand together and begin to sing a hymn of invitation. Some of you may come forward and pray here at the front steps, committing yourself to share this tract with someone this week. Some of you may come this morning because you want to join our church. Some of you may come saying, I need to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today. I want to receive the good news of Christ. This invitation is your opportunity to respond. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came for us, that you lived a life perfectly according to God's design, that you carried our sin and shame to the cross of Calvary, that you rose again with power to save. You've set things right. I pray that you'd set us right, that everyone who hears my voice this morning would sense your Holy Spirit stirring, that no one would leave this room without having turned from sin and trusted in Christ, calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. And I do pray, Father, that you'd give us grace and a deep desire to share the good news of Jesus with our neighbors and friends. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.